Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together from Psalter 325, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart, and what follows. Psalter 325, the first three stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Romans 3, the verses 1 through 20. First, we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans 3, the first 20 verses. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way chiefly, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner, and not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just? What then? Are we better than they? No. In no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, and not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Most holy, most righteous, everlasting, unchangeable, a merciful, faithful, and good-doing God. It is so necessary each time by renewal that thou granteth a deep and an abiding impression of whom thou art, where thou art high and lifted up, glorious and majestic, of purer eyes than thou canst behold iniquity. When we may receive a little impression thereof, then it cannot be different that we shall be given to see our littleness. But our sinfulness, we have heard it out of thy holy word, where it was declared, what fallen man has become, and what he remains. And then it is so necessary and indispensable that every mouth may be stopped, and that we become guilty before thee, Lord. May that take place in this evening hour. Then it would be a special, then it would be a good hour. By nature, then man tries to excuse himself, then seeing that perhaps not as bad, we are as bad, but when we may come up to thy house, we do better, that we compare ourselves to our neighbor and not to the holy law of God. Lord, thou knowest how deeply we have fallen. In this day, in the realm of nature, then the wind was given to blow. We humbly ask thee in this evening hour, oh, come thou north wind, that north wind of uncovering, that we may be given to see what we have become. We may be given to live in our existence, and that is enmity against our Creator, against our benefactor, but also against the dear Son of God. Lord, cause also the south wind to blow. That is the south wind of the gospel, that guilty sinners, sin-sick souls, that may be healed. Calm them down with thy spirit, with thy power, and with thy blood. O Lord, it is all thy work from the beginning to the end. We have become unable. We have become unwilling. Then we must say with the prophet of old, the crown has fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned, O Lord. It is so indispensable that those lessons are learned between the cradle and the grave. What shall it be when it all becomes reality at the end of our life? And then it shall be forever and forever too late, O Lord. May it please thee to yet do a great work amongst us and our children. Thou knowest if thou leaveth us lie in our lost and forlorn condition, then we are forever undone. May it please the King in this evening hour to ride triumphantly upon the apparel of his holy word. May it please thee to go from bench to bench, from chair to chair, from dwelling to dwelling, oh, from heart to heart, that in this evening hour may be thy set time, that sinners may be wrought upon, a boy, a girl, our youth, and the older ones. May it please thee to grant us further leadings in the life of thy children. We have heard in this morning the deep humiliation of thy dear son, that he was willing to bear the curse, that thy children may go free. Bless the means of grace in the church. Wilt thou remember the consistory who is sufficient unto these things? May we be given more and more to need that great office bear, to be administered out of his fullness, to be encouraged, and that we may be given to hope in thee. Wilt thou help fathers and mothers in the midst of the family circles with the instruction of their children? May it be accompanied by much work in the inner chamber and by a godly example. We commend unto thee the Christian school. Remember the students that are called upon to study at home. Remember those that are quarantined. Remember the teachers. Remember the bus drivers, the administration. May their eyes be upon thee. Then by renewal, then we remember the many outward needs in the midst of the congregation. Remember the sick, the afflicted, those under the doctor's care in a special way. Remember all the sick relatives. The circumstances are known unto thee. May all the callings be used that sin sick souls, that they may be brought under the care and the healing of the heavenly physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember all the elderly ones. Remember the husband and wife O hope to remember in the day of tomorrow that thou hast spared them for 58 years in the bond of holy matrimony, may they be given to bow their knees at thy footstool with an impression of thy goodness and of their sinnership. Lord, remember as they continue their journey, how long that journey shall be. It is unknown unto them, known unto thee above all things. Do save their never dying souls. O wilt thou remember all our elderly ones with all those that may lovingly care for them. We remember the mourning ones by renewal in this day. May out of that mourning another mourning be born, and that is a mourning for our sins. Remember the crosses, the burdens. O wilt thou provide for our daily bread. Remember man and beast. Remember the family circles. May love abound when it is not so. Wilt thou grant it what has been separated, bring it together. Wilt thou remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Remember the nations of the earth. Remember also our province. Wilt thou grant unto the premier and those that stand at his side. Wilt thou grant wisdom and understanding in these trying and difficult times with thy solemn judgments, with thy speaking. Wilt thou grant that there may be an acknowledgement that thou art the supreme ruler. May there be an acknowledgement that thou must bless the means, but also a calling to repentance. And it is written in thy holy word that the time is come, that the judgments must begin at the house of God, our Lord. Then thou art still waiting to be gracious. Wilt thou grant unto thy church to repent of worldly and evil ways, and that there may yet be a crying, a mighty crying unto thee, and that all thy judgments, that they may be sanctified, that they may be used, that many souls shall be saved. Wilt thou now grant thy gracious help in this evening hour. May our eyes be upon thee. Wilt thou anoint with fresh oil from above. Wilt thou grant that in all simplicity it may be explained, and that thy word may go forth with power divine, that the outgoing of the service may be for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name, O Lord, forsake and leave us not, but remember us with a favor that thou bearest unto thy people. We are unworthy that thou shouldest come under our roof, and it can be confessed with the lips. May it be experienced in the heart, and may many sighs arise unto thee in this evening hour, that thou may show the multitude of thy mercies, where the psalmist has declared, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O Lord, Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. May that be experienced. Glorify thy name. Pardon us of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 438, the stanzas 3 and 4. God's law, a perfect whole, is saving to the soul. And every secret tries his testimony sure, which ever shall endure. And what follows, Psalter 438, the stanzas 3 and 4. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 2, the question and answers 3, 4, and 5. Question 3, whence knowest thou thy misery? Answer, out of the law of God. Question 4, what doth the law of God require of us? Answer, Christ teaches us that briefly, Matthew 22, the verses 37 through 40. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first and the great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Question 5. Canst thou keep all these things perfectly? Answer, in no wise. For I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. Lord's Day number 2 speaks of the experiential knowledge of our misery by the holy law of God. With 3 thoughts, in the first place, the function of the law. In the second place, the requirements of the law. And in the third place, the transgression of the law. The experiential knowledge of our misery by the holy law of God. The function of the law in question and answer number 3. The requirements of the law in number 4. And the transgression of the law in number 5. Beloved congregation, some weeks ago, then we were given to consider the introduction to the Catechism with that touching and solemn question, what is thy only comfort in life and death? Maybe even for our little children, that word comfort is a big word. Then we shall say happiness. And boys and girls, you know what it is to be happy. And then a comfort, not only for the time, what a cares there are in the time, trials, afflictions, sickness, death, the cares for our daily bread. Then in this day, how many farmers must have looked out of the window, seeing their topsoil blow away, which would never return. We shall not multiply it out. And then we have heard such a precious answer. Have we laid that answer before the Lord, congregation? Have we told now the Lord, that is now what I need, that I may receive that true comfort, that true blessedness of the people of God? because for the true people of God, then God is their portion through the meritorial work of Jesus Christ, by the application of the Holy Spirit for body and for soul. And then at the end of life's journey, then taken out of this world, and then taken into glory, where they shall forever praise the Lord. And then we have heard, I think, boys and girls, that you can remember. And if you have not remembered them, then you must remember them in this night. And you must never forget, and ask the Lord that he may teach you those three matters. And that consists of knowing our sins and misery, and knowing how our sins may be forgiven through the sacrifice of Christ, and thankfulness. Thus, in short, misery, deliverance, and gratitude. And now in this evening hour, then the instructors, they are given to begin to speak of that first part. When we read our Heidelberg Catechism, then the part concerning the knowledge of our misery, that is much shorter than the other two parts. In our catechism, then the Lord's Days 2 through 4, they speak of misery. The Lord's Days 5 through 31, they speak of deliverance. And then the Lord's Days 32 through 52, they speak of gratitude. Then we must realize that the instructors thought it well concerning the fuller explanation of the Ten Commandments to give that explanation in the part of gratitude. Then we are given to see that Zacharias Ursinus and Caspar Olivianus, that they were led in such a clear way, in the way that the Lord holdeth with his children, because when the Lord begins with his Spirit in the heart of a sinner, when they are given to see their sins, then everything becomes sin in the holy sight of a righteous God. Congregation, if you want to know what sin is, then ask a soul where the Lord has begun by his Spirit, and in that further uncovering, then the instructors have thought it well, that in the part of gratitude, that by renewal, that a soul may be brought at the foot of Mount Sinai, and to hear, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the house of Egypt, out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Then further, when we read the catechism, because you must remember, congregation, that with the experience wrought by the Holy Spirit, that in such a soul, that first there is not a time of misery, and then gratitude, and then deliverance, and then gratitude about these three matters. They are experienced each time by renewal. And to that end, in our Heidelberg Catechism, based upon the Holy Word of God, then also in the part of deliverance, then each time it is declared from the depth of misery, where Christ is found and where from he has delivered his church. Then also in the part of gratitude, then that misery is also mentioned when they are given to speak in Lord's Day number 33 of the true conversion of man, in that mortification, in that quickening, and then in that mortification, it is a sincere sorrow of heart that we have provoked God by our sins and more to flee from them. In Lord's Day number 44, when it is asked why the law so strictly must be preached, where even the most holiest men have only a small beginning, yet a resolution, with a desire to walk in the ways of the Lord, then they have written more and more to know our sinful nature. Then continually in the Word of God, then we find those three matters declared. We have considered Psalm 63 in the weeks gone by. Think of Psalm 130. Lord, if thou wouldest mark transgression, who can stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. In our forms for the sacrament of holy baptism and the Lord's Supper, then those matters are mentioned. And now there is asked in this Lord's Day, has that now become our concern, how we may receive that only comfort, and how those three matters are experienced in the heart of a child of God. Because when the Lord works by his Spirit, then there can be so many questions, and then there can be so many riddles, and then it can seem such a singular way, and then such souls, they have the desire that they may find their heart declared in the Word of God and in the house of God. Whence knowest thou thy misery? In Lord's Day number 1, in question and answer number 2, there is spoken the first, how great my sins and miseries are. There they have first mentioned sins. The Lord has a people where that becomes the greatest grief. And now in our Lord's Day, when it is asked, whence knowest thou thy misery? Then the instructor does not ask whether we have misery, or whether we are miserable, or whether we are sinners, but then the question is asked, whence knowest thou thy misery? And that word misery, in the Latin, that refers to being in exile. As we read in 2 Samuel 14, but that an Absalom, because of the great sin which he has committed, that he was exiled from Jerusalem. Whence knowest thou thy misery? Then in the first place, then we must consider that the Lord is so free, that the Lord is so sovereign in the way that he holds with his people. The one he draws more by love, and the other he drives more by the law, but they are taught by the Holy Spirit, and they are given to experience the same matters. I read in Lamentations 4 verse 9, that it is better to die by the sword than to die by hunger. And in Jeremiah 45 verse 4, that the Lord has declared, everything that I have built, I will break down, and what I have planted, that I will pluck up. The Lord is free, but the children of God, they shall all be taught out of what a great misery and what a great death that they are delivered from. To make it clear for our boys and our girls, then let us picture a house. Then there are different ways that a house can be taken down. It can be that your father, maybe older brothers, maybe you even helped take a building down piece by piece. First the shingles, the steel, the plywood, the trusses, and piece by piece until the building is down. And many times when such a building is taken down piece by piece, then the owner, he tries to sell those pieces. Are there souls that understand it? By the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit, stripped more of everything, to become a sinner before the Lord, even a great sinner. And what does such a sinner do? Then such a sinner, with all his repentance and reformation, because when the Lord works by his Spirit, then a soul is given to experience the exceeding sinfulness of sin, and then to say it reverently, then such a soul, with everything that he is given to experience, he tries to pay his debt, but he shall be taught that it shall not put weight in the scale of God's justice. Can also be that a hurricane comes, and that house, in a moment's time, that it is flattened, that it is blown away. Thus, two different ways, and yet the house is broken down. And now what is the most important, congregation? The truth of the matter, the work of the Holy Spirit, that we are uncovered to our misery, that we become a sinner, because his name is called Jesus, because he has come to save his people from their sins. And what must we do? We have heard it in this morning hour. that Pontius Pilate has asked, oh, what must I do with Jesus? Oh, are there sinners in my midst, burdened with their sin? Oh, striving that building may not be broken down. What a difficult way it is to lose everything. And let us add, we hope the Lord willing to hear it further in the explanation, not only concerning the building, but the foundation, that it must all be dug up and that it must be uncovered. Whence knowest thou thy misery? And then the answer is, out of the law of God. Then the law, that is more functions. We shall just mention them in this evening hour. The first purpose that is declared in answer number 3. In the second place, then I read in Galatians 3 verse 24 that the law is as a schoolmaster to bring sinners to Christ, that they are stripped of everything. In the third part, it is as a rule of life in the way of gratitude. John Calvin has spoken of the fourth, for the well-ordering of society. Whence knowest thou thy misery? Out of the law of God. The Lord, he has written his holy law upon the tables of our first parents in the state of rectitude. And then as the earth has continued, and Reverend Hellenbrook has written that man did not live so long anymore, then it has pleased the Lord to give that law in an audible voice from Mount Sinai. The Lord has given the law to mankind in his great goodness and in his great wisdom. Whence knowest thou thy misery? Out of the law of God. Then our young people, and maybe our boys and girls, have also learned it, that the Lord has given unto the children of Israel 3 laws. Then he has given them the ceremonial laws, and it is true, also those ceremonial laws, they were given for uncovering, because then the children of Israel, then they were given to see that there needed to be satisfaction for sin. When the offerer would lay his hands upon the head of that animal, that symbolically implied that sin was transferred to that goat, to that sheep, and that animal had to die. But those ceremonial laws, they have come to an end with the death of Christ, when the veil of the temple was rent. Then the civil laws, they concerned the political life of Israel in a certain sense. Also, out of the civil laws, it showed the misery of man, that those laws were necessary because of the rebellious nature of mankind. Then the Lord has given the moral law, and that is what our answer refers to, called the Decalogue, and also the Ten Commandments, of which the Lord is engraven in stone, to tell us that it is an everlasting law. And now concerning, whence knowest thou thy misery? Then the instructors they are given to speak of an experiential knowledge, because we have learned, we have been brought up under the truth, and when we can read, then we read our Bibles, right, boys and girls? Then when you go to bed, then you read your Bible, and then we have been taught that through our deep fall in Adam, that we have fallen so deeply, that we are so corrupt, that we are lost traveling on that broad way to destruction. And that is a necessary and profitable knowledge, that even with our mind, that we may know the truth, and also how the Lord converts his people. But when the instructors are given to ask, whence knowest thou thy misery? That is a knowledge that is experienced by the work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of his chosen people. And then congregation, then it is not only a knowledge in the mind, but then it is a knowledge of the heart. And then it becomes so different, then it all becomes real, and then it shall be seen in our life, because the law teaches us what sinners we are. Then for our children, then we may compare the law to a mirror, which we may look into, and you know that a mirror does not lie, that reflects the person that is looking into that mirror. And then it is necessary not only to have a mirror, but what do we then need, boys and girls? If you place a mirror before a blind person, then he sees absolutely nothing. And if you place a mirror before someone in a dark room, then he sees nothing. Is that still our picture, congregation? That we see nothing. Oh, we know it with our mind, but that it has never become a true sorrow. Because when it becomes true and we are given to see who we are, then we shall learn to weep bitter tears. And that knowledge is in the context of a knowledge of God. Because in this Lord's Day, when our instructors speak of that knowledge of our misery, when the Lord begins that good work, then we have to do with the lawgiver. Then the law can never be separated from the lawgiver. And that lawgiver is so holy, so righteous, and so pure that he cannot overlook one sin. Thus, the law as a mirror. And then we need eyes, and then we need light. We could even explain it further. Can be boys and girls, when you are sick, much pain, and you do not get better, that your parents, they take you to the hospital, and then they examine you. But a mirror that only shows our outside does not show the inside of her body. And what does the doctor many times do? Then he takes a picture of the inside of your body, that he can see what is sick, what is wrong, what needs to be healed. Oh, when the Lord works, then not only a mirror, but as it were an x-ray of our heart. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and who shall know it? Our second thought, the requirements of the law, let us first sing. Of Psalter 23, the first four stanzas. The God who sits enthroned on high, the foolish in their heart deny. Not one does good corrupt in thought, unrighteous works their hands have wrought. And what follows, Psalter 23, the first four stanzas. the experiential knowledge of our misery by the holy law of God. The function of the law, and now in the second place, the requirements of the law. Then concerning the workings of the law, we have read it together out of Romans 3 verse 20, where it is clearly written, "For by the law is the knowledge of sin." And Paul has written to the Romans in Romans 7 verse 9, "For he was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died." Then the law, the mirror of the law, that reflects the purity, the holiness, and the justice of God. And now concerning that requirement, what does the law of God require of us? Answer, Christ teaches us that briefly. Then, of course, these words, they were spoken by Christ. That does not mean that when the Lord teaches those matters, that such a soul has knowledge of Christ. But it is by the prophetical office of Christ that a soul may learn their great misery, who they are, who they have become. And Christ has said to his disciples before he suffered and died in John 16, the verses 8 through 10, "But when he has come, that is the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment." And now the law of God that requires perfection concerning our thoughts, concerning our words, concerning our deeds. The psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 96, has declared that the law of God is exceeding broad. It concerns sins of omission and sins of commission, public and private. And what does the law of God require? Then in the first place, that we love God above all. I read also in Romans 13, verse 10, that love is the fulfilling of the law. And now to love one, someone above all, then such a one shall continually be in our thoughts. We shall try to please. We shall be careful not to grieve. Then we shall seek that communion. Thus to love God above all, there may not be anyone or anything that has a larger place in our life than the Lord. May not be a wife or a husband or a child. May not be anything material. The first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Oh, for an Adam and an Eve, that was their delight and that was their joy, to walk in that sweet communion with the Lord. Then the Lord had the first and the highest place in their life. And then secondly, our neighbor as ourselves, that we seek his welfare and good. We have the example out of Luke 10 of the parable of the Good Samaritan. Thus, that is the summary which Christ has given in Matthew 22, the verses 37 through 40, that we love the Lord above all and our neighbor as ourself. The psalmist Asaph in Psalm 23 and verse 25, oh, he has learned that he was a beast before the Lord. But then at the end of that psalm, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Has that become our life? That we need the Lord. And also concerning all the temporal blessings which the Lord granteth when we do not experience the Lord and his loving kindness, then there is an emptiness. But when we may be given to experience the excellency of his loving kindness, then it is good. Our third thought, the transgression of the law. Then there is asked, canst thou keep all these things perfectly? Does not ask if we have kept. Does not ask if we desire to keep. How is that? With that law. Have we now received a true desire to keep that law perfectly, even if it was possible, to never transgress his commandments again? That is a good place to be, a good place to come, that tender life, a deep impression whom the Lord is and also what the law requires. But it does not ask if we have kept, desire to keep, does not ask whether we hope to keep, because the Lord requires a perfect keeping of that law to enter into heaven. Oh, in that way the church is taught the necessity of the act of obedience. That is the obedience of Christ, where he has kept that law perfectly. But it asks now, canst thou keep all these things perfectly? Thus in that question and answer, then, boys and girls, let us think by renewal of a boy or girl. Maybe children, you have never been in the hospital. That is a blessing. Then you must thank the Lord that he grants health. But if you now have a boy or girl that has went for test, for examination, and that the doctor calls your parents and say that he must come with you to visit with the doctor, then I think, boys and girls, then you would look very closely at the face of that doctor, whether he has a happy face, a smile on his face, or whether he looks very sad and very serious. That would not be a good sign. And now in question and answer 5, then we have the report of a physician concerning fallen man. Canst thou keep all these things perfectly? In no wise, for I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. Thus then the instructor is not only given to speak of our thoughts, our words, or our deeds, but then the instructor is given to speak of our existence. That word prone, that means inclined to, that speaks of our nature, of water. There's the nature of water to run downhill. a fire that burns, a bird that sings, and now the instructors based upon God's holy word. Then they are given to declare the condition and state of natural man, that we are inclined, that we are prone to hate God and our neighbor. Then what a solemn answer that is, and based upon God's word, because we have heard out of Romans 3 that Paul has written to the Romans, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And then we have heard what solemn things that the apostle has spoken concerning fallen and sinful men, that there is no fear of God before their eyes, their feet, they're swift to shed blood. We have heard it. And then the necessity, the instructor shall speak of those matters in the further Lord's day, that every mouth may be stopped and we become guilty before the Lord. And there is a people upon the earth that learns by the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit. Also, when they read these verses, that they are given to declare that the half is not told, the depth of the depravity of human nature, haters of God and of our fellow man. But then I hear, boys and girls, think, and good when we think along, when we hear that answer, that maybe there are children that say, but I do not totally, really agree with that answer, because I love my father and mother, brothers and sisters. When a baby is born, and what a love there is in a family. Thus, how must we reconcile those matters with what the instructors say in this answer? Then by the common goodness of the Lord, then it still pleases the Lord to grant love among one another. That is a great blessing. I read when Christ has spoken of the latter days of the earth in Matthew 24, verse 12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, and we see that taking place, a great blessing and a great privilege when love may abound in family circles, in married life, in the midst of the congregation. That is the common goodness of the Lord. If the Lord would withdraw all that goodness, then it would not be possible to live upon the earth. But now our existence, when the Lord withdraws that common goodness, have the examples in the Bible, two brothers, the first boys that were born, then a Cain has murdered an Abel. Think of Queen Athaliah, because of the desire of power, that she has murdered her grandchildren. We have heard in this morning hour of those Roman soldiers, Jesus has done nothing but good, healed the sick, preach the word of God. And then those soldiers, they seemed to have a joy in afflicting, mocking, and ridiculing Jesus. Read of concentration camps. There it becomes evident what man has become. And I read in Jeremiah 13, verse 23, can the Ethiopian change his spots or the leopard his skin? So may ye also that are accustomed to do evil do good. Thus our instructors, they are given to speak of the deep depravity of man. And now concerning the preaching of the law, the natural man is an enemy against that preaching. Oh, we delight when there is preached against our neighbor, when their sins may be pointed out. We have nothing against that, but when the law is preached strictly and it is preached against our sins, then it becomes evident the enmity against the preaching of the law. Also, in the midst of the church, when we think of the Bible, on Adam, he has placed the blame on his dear wife. Cain has excused himself. David has tried to cover up his sins. Oh, it was the grace and mercy of God that David has come on the right place. Otherwise, he would have also murdered Nathan. Think of King Ahab when Micaiah, the prophet, has spoken evil. Then he was smitten and put back in prison with bread and water. Think of a Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 20, then he was smitten by Pashur, where the children of Israel have said, speak unto us smooth things. Think of Christ, where he has laid the sins of the Pharisees bare. Then they have cried, oh, crucify him. And as we come closer to the end of the world, and that is becoming evident, then we live in a day that relationships, that they are more important than the truth, that we must be politically correct, that we must speak smooth things. But the instructors, they are given to declare, and also at the end of the law, in the part of gratitude, then they are given to ask why the law must so strictly be preached. The experiential knowledge of our misery by the holy law of God, young and old, have we become a sinner? Have we become a great sinner? Were we given to look into the mirror of the law? Have we tried to save ourselves? Have we tried very hard? And have we experienced a sinner still? Because that law that requires perfect obedience. And now when the Lord granteth, then we hope on Friday to come up to the house of God and to remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the payday of the church, for sinners, for a people that have learned that they are transgressors, that have learned that they are great sinners. Then a way is declared that the chiefest of sinners may be saved. Canst thou keep all these things perfectly? In no wise, for I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. And then the prophet has said in Jeremiah 3, verse 13, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast sinned against the Lord. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may humbly thank thee that thou was granted another Lord's Day, yet a few simple words to speak. May it please thee to add thy blessing, that in this evening hour there may have been those that have been given to look into the mirror of thy holy law, to reflect thy holiness, and to be given to see their sinnership, that they are lost sinners. Oh, Lord, those are lessons that we need to learn between the cradle and the grave, because if we learn it at the end of our life, then it shall not be with love, but then it shall only be with fear, and then it shall be too late to learn what sinners we are. Lord, work in the hearts of young and old, and all may there be those sinners that have tried to keep that law, but where it is a condemning law, where they cannot satisfy that law. Oh, may it be granted when we hope to come up to thy house to remember the death of thy dear son. Oh, Lord, may it be for one, could it be for more, that with a burden of transgression, that they may be led to the foot of the cross. Oh, to be given to look upon him that is white and ruddy, and that the burden of sin may roll off. Lord, we may commence another week. Wilt thou graciously watch over us in the home, on the way, at work, at school, wherever we are called to be. Wilt thou keep us from harm and danger. Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation. Wilt thou now graciously bring us to our homes, and wilt thou watch over us in the night, and that we may awake refreshed. May we be found good stewards of what thou hast entrusted unto us. Wilt thou grant health, wilt thou grant strength and courage for our labors. May we be given to pray and beg for one another, Lord. Wilt thou supply our temporal needs above all. Oh, do save us and our children by free and sovereign grace. Wilt thou forgive us of our sins, also of this day, also when speaking and listening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 140, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. A plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now and what follows. Psalter 140, the first three stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.